Life Matters, Michael McKenzie. Some days, even the smallest pebbles can feel like standing stones. Whether that's stress at work or not having work, a condescending jibe from a family member, maybe the dog just won't stop whining. Then you accidentally turn your favourite white shirt, tie-dyed, yellow, in the wash. In the pandemic, all these little things can add up, especially when you're already struggling. And I'd like to hear from you on this. How do you cope with those bad days? What have you learned to do when things feel like they're getting too much? Perhaps you've felt a bit burnt out this year and you've just had to make some changes to cope. So what things do you put in place that give you joy? Dr. Dan Fasnacht is a senior lecturer at the College of Education, Psychology and Social Work at Flinders University in South Australia. And Dan, hello, welcome to Life Matters.
Hi, thanks for having me, Michael.
Dan, why do you think so many of us are finding this year of the pandemic harder than 2020?
Well, look, I mean, first of all, we have been in this together for quite a while now, so it's dragging on. And we know from our own research, the longer something like this is dragging on, the more people feel actually fatigued and down. And we were able to track that really well with our surveys we did over the last couple of months, that people are actually really feeling quite tired and down at the moment.
Yes, there's that endless fatigue of uncertainty that goes with this current state of play.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, what we have seen globally and also in Australia is that, especially in the first early months of the pandemic, we have seen an increase in psychological distress, so anxiety, depression, and these sort of things. However, other things like what was expected, for example, suicide rates, etc., remained largely stable. And what we are seeing now globally is that the longer the pandemic takes, the more severe presentations of mental illness, they're actually not increasing further. This is good. But what we also see is that the general community, the general population is feeling quite stressed in a way at the moment.
That I guess is brings us to this talk back today, is that, you know, you've got to find those chinks of light, those little rays of hope that get you through those bad times that can happen to us day to day, when sometimes every day just seems like it's part of an amorphous whole. And Dan, we'll get into some of the techniques and studies you've been getting into yourself personally as an academic. But can I also talk to you about your personal life? Because I take it, I mean, academics and researchers aren't immune from this either.
No, absolutely not. I mean, being in academia is a stressful job. I mean, I enjoy it, but it comes with a lot of challenges, and our sector has been hit quite badly with the pandemic. And, you know, you see colleagues are struggling, and I was struggling myself. So I'm definitely not immune. And, you know, we have to come up with certain techniques and activities which actually help us, to get through these challenging times. So, I mean, what I do personally, and you know, everyone is different, and different things work for different people. But what works for me is always exercise. You know, going out and going for a run, especially now that spring is coming, is very enjoyable for me. And it's not only the physical activity; it's also kind of like clearing my mind and basically putting my mind at ease. While I'm running, I'm starting to think about things in the beginning, but then the longer you run, you actually get rid of these thoughts.
And of course, with running comes that endorphin rush from exertion. But I take it also there must be, and so many people would identify with this, that lovely feeling of being at one with the outdoors.
Absolutely. And I mean, this has been really challenging for some people, you know, being in lockdown. I mean, I'm in Adelaide, and we were quite lucky. So we only had like a couple of days of lockdown, really, and we were always able to get out and exercise. So this is good. And now that the weather is getting better, I think this is definitely something a lot of people will find joy in. Obviously, there are also other techniques for people who don't really enjoy these, vigorous exercise. I mean, I know that a lot of people are into yoga and some mindfulness practices, and that can also be very helpful for someone to actually go or get through a challenging day or relax after a challenging day.
My guest is Dan Fasnacht. He's a senior lecturer at the College of Education, Psychology and Social Work at Flinders University. Dan's just given us some insights as to how he brings joy back into his life. Dan Fasnacht, you've been doing, along with some of your other colleagues in Flinders University, I think you've been doing quite a bit of research into the impact of this kind of state of mind and state of play globally on people's behaviours. And you've got something called a Be Well program. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, we started this kind of research, and it's actually more like research. It's really giving the community something back which they can work with. We started that work with the South Australian Health and Medical Research Institute, especially the Wellbeing and Resilience Centre. So we are really closely working together on this. And the Be Well plan is a program we put together. It's 5 sessions long. And we took evidence-based activities, which we found from the literature, which we know can help to increase good mental well-being, but also decrease psychological distress. And we took all of these activities, and amongst some of them are well-known activities such as mindfulness or, you know, self-compassion or, you know, meaning and purpose in your life, but also kind of like cognitive techniques, how to overcome negative thinking and these sort of things. So we took all of these techniques together and we embedded them into the so-called Be Well plan. So we have facilitators talking about these techniques. And the idea of the program is that participants tailor their own well-being plan. As I said before, not everyone finds joy in the same activities. So yeah, People are different and they use different techniques. So the program is really around experimenting with some of these techniques and then finding out what works for you and coming up with your own personalized well-being plan.
That's fantastic. So you're customizing according to need and desire any participant's sort of inclination. So they have a smorgasbord of inputs that could help them with their mindset, and then they choose what works for them.
That's exactly right. And it's a group-based, so the sessions are group-based. So the people come together, the participants, and they talk about their experiences with these different activities. So you might actually not think in the first instance that you might enjoy this activity, but then you hear someone else talking about it and you might think like, oh, this, I could give that a try. And then you right. try it out. And, you know, nothing is set in stone, so you can always change your activities. But as you said, there's a huge list of activities. They are all evidence-based. So we know that they work and people choose from them and they come up with their own individualized plan.
Well, Dan, let's find out what other people have been doing in terms of their individualized plans around the nation. Flick is from Melbourne. And Flick, you've just woken up and you've got no power.
That's right. I am in isolation with no power with a toddler and I'm solo parenting. So it feels a bit brutal.
And yet you've found joy.
Well, what I was going to say is it's not me, it's my toddler. She spent nearly half her life in lockdown in Melbourne. So she was born during COVID and she just finds the whole world fascinating and it's wonderful to just drop into her world. You know, she's playing in the Tupperware cupboard and finding Tupperware lids and putting them on her head and just, there's something about seeing the world through the eyes of a toddler that makes the whole absurdity just feel joyful. It's utterly absurd trying to make coffee with no kettle, but, you know, we're figuring it out together.
Well, clearly the way forward is with Tupperware. I think your daughter's discovered that. So that's brilliant. Flick, it's great to hear. And I laughed because there was joy in hearing about your daughter in the Tupperware cupboard. So thanks so much for calling.
Thanks.
It's been great. That's Flick in Melbourne. Let's go to Sydney. Patricia, what are you doing to get you through those bad times?
Oh, my goodness. Well, thank you, Michael. I think the very first thing is acknowledging how I felt, because I found that when I sort of didn't sit with that for a little while, I actually could go back into that loop that I felt worth it through. But yeah, staying connected with other human beings, and definitely my weekly yoga, that was a huge benefit.
And were you doing that yoga online?
Yes, so we were doing it in our work environment as part of our work benefits. But then when we went sort of virtual, we were able to stay connected, and we just did it via Zoom twice a week, which was just such a godsend.
That was great.
Yeah, just human connection, and reaching out and making sure that I found ways to do that rather than sit in that gloom.
That's great, Patricia. Thank you very much. Let's go to Raymond Terrace in New South Wales. Tracy, what gives you joy in your life?
Michael, I get great joy from looking out my window on my little quiet street and seeing my neighbour Joel and his three little boys, all under school age. They ride their bikes around and around. They're as happy as can be. And Joel is a large man, but the littlest boy, who's probably one, he sits in front of Dad on his bike, and he just loves it, you can tell. So that brings me joy.
That is fantastic. So are they aware that you're getting joy from watching them ride?
They are, because I've spoken to them about it.
Tracy, thank you very much indeed. Sally's in Canberra. What are you doing, Sally?
Well, I'm just lying in bed at the moment.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
well, thanks for calling.
I'm cold.
Well, it's always cold in Canberra, but what's giving you joy while you're dealing with cold?
Well, if I've had a stressful day, what I do is I make the bed up with clean sheets, I put on the CD of the Four Seasons to play, and I run a hot bubble bath, then I come into bed and have a little sleep.
Sally, that sounds brilliant. What a fantastic strategy. Liz is in Coburg in the north of Melbourne. Liz, you've just heard from Sally. What are you up to?
Sally does. Look, I'm sort of changing your question a little bit, because I don't think it is mostly about one bad day or a bad day. I think there's sort of a sense of inertia and gloom, and isn't it awful we're in lockdown? And we're the best
yes.
at it. We are so good at lockdown. I think of lots of things, including routines that you do no matter how you feel and things like that. But one thing that I was thinking particularly of is the idea that when in lockdown, you think of things you can't do, but to think of, rather than that, think of the things that I can do, that are there available. Like the woman who's describing the family going past her house.
Yes, on bikes.
Yes, and engage with people, to say hi to people. And also that the trees are blossoming, the fruit trees are blossoming, and they're doing it no matter, they're not locked down. And just to enjoy those simple things of what you can enjoy, what you can do. What can I do? Okay, I can't do that, but what can I do? So that's one thing that I like to share with them. That I can share publicly.
I don't know what that means, Liz, but I don't think we should discuss it on the radio. So
no,
thank you very much. Katie's in northern New South Wales. Katie, I beg your pardon. What is it do you think you've been struggling with and found your way through?
Hi, I'm a psychologist. So I've spent the last 18 months sort of working with, I guess, the trauma of people. Other people's trauma throughout this pandemic.
Yeah.
And I think it's something that has been overlooked often in our discussions about healthcare workers, is actually the impact that it has on mental health professionals that are working with others who are experiencing distress, high levels of distress and trauma throughout this time.
How do you debrief, Katie? Because I know that in the counselling realm, the counselling sector, often professionals debrief with each other. Is that something you've been able to do?
Definitely. I think that throughout this process, peer supervision has been really essential, and also clinical supervision, which we have, with our supervisor. It's absolutely been essential because, a lot of people don't recognise that, we often will work face-to-face, mostly, with clients. And throughout the pandemic, we've had to shift to online modes like telehealth and so forth, which is a totally different medium, a way of connecting with people.
Sure.
But
and personally, can I ask you, Katie, what have you been doing in your personal life that has been giving you the joy you require?
Well, I'm also a mother, a single mother of three children. So I have actually been kind of revisiting my youth. So one of the things that I really love doing is thinking about some of those things, wondrous things that I used to do during my childhood. And one of the things that I found really enriching and almost a mindfulness practice is I make like miniature houses and miniature sort of, you know, I'm very artistic. So I'll make like miniature things. And I just, for some reason, it's just filled me with a lot of wonder and joy and presence throughout this pandemic.
Your children must love that. Do they love it?
Oh, they love it. And, you know, they do it with me. So it's actually been, you know, quite a point of connection for our family as well.
I so enjoy the prospect of seeing you and your children by the end of this pandemic having resulted in a miniature suburb.
Oh, it's almost a suburb now. We've moved to outdoor settings already. Yeah.
That's brilliant.
But I think the final point I just wanted to quickly make is that when we think about mindfulness and meditation, I think we need to be really creative. It's not about just sitting down and breathing or even walking. It's actually about whatever allows you to feel really present in that moment, whether it's crocheting or whether it's making something or, you know, I think we can find those moments of joy and presence in so many things.
Such a good point to make, Katie, and all the best with the rest of your housemaking along with your children. I might come back to thank you very much. Let's go back to Dan Fasnacht, the senior lecturer at the College of Education, Psychology and Social Work at Flinders University. I'm already feeling happier, Dan. How about you?
Oh, definitely. It's really nice, you know, hearing other people talk about what they are doing to bring them joy. And there were so many good things. I mean, things we have actually also seen in our research. I mean, first of all, someone talked about normalizing that, you know, it's absolutely okay to feel like that at the moment and to feel down at certain times. And then Katie at the end, she talked about, you know, that it's not just one day, it's kind of dragging on a little bit. So that makes it even harder.
Yeah.
And I think a very good point was also that mindfulness is actually quite difficult to do and it's quite hard. But we can actually find these mindfulness moments in day-to-day things. And I think two people spoke about their young children and how good they are in terms of, you know, being mindful in their moment when they are playing. And we as parents, I also have a three-year-old son, and I'm just absolutely enjoy watching him because he is in the moment. And when I observe and observe him and play with him, I can actually, you know, participate in these joyful moments.
That's great. And I think our adult brains tend to look ahead and then start to catastrophize. And we don't blame people for that. It's just what happens, particularly when you see no end in sight of a certain state of being. And I take it that that kind of simple, as you say, focusing on the moment with your child is a form of mindfulness that does help eradicate that catastrophizing. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we do have some activities in our program where we talk about self-compassion. And self-compassion is an idea that you're actually mindful and kind to yourself. And, you know, we all are sometimes in that mood that we think about we have done something wrong or we should feel better. And so we actually are criticizing ourselves for what we are and how we are at the moment. But when we think about how we would respond to a friend, if a friend comes with a problem and says, like, look, I think I did this mistake, we would say kindly, you know, that's not so bad. That's not a problem. You know, you didn't do something wrong or things like that. Whereas we are sometimes overly critical to us. And that's kind of like what you said as well.
Jan is in Canberra. Jan, you're living by yourself. You're retired. So this is where you don't necessarily have someone to bounce off. So how have you worked things out so that you have some joy?
That's right. For a start, I'm an introvert. So I haven't found being myself all that bad. However, I've been my neighbours, we do online shopping together. So we have one delivery coming to one household. And then we experiment with different types of online orders. And that's actually been really nice. We've also been, I've been walking with a neighbour most days when we can. And again, that mental health wellness is really important.
It is. And Jan, I take it you're out and you're walking, you're thinking, hey, if we get home soon, our next delivery should have arrived.
Oh, absolutely. We're excited when it comes. We're trying a different one.
And whatever floats your boat, Jan, that's fantastic. Thank you so much for that. Just a tip too, if you're on speakerphone and listening to the show, that's great. But when I call on you to come to the phone, if you could take yourself off speaker, that'd be brilliant. Lee's in Sydney. Lee, you're vision impaired. So tell us what that means when it comes to you finding joy.
I'm actually totally blind, but that never used to hinder me. Although I do miss being able to see nature, but I've developed a neurological disorder that means I can't really walk on my own, so I've actually been in lockdown for a few years, basically.
I'm sorry to hear that.
What I discovered through the actual lockdown, a silver lining of the actual lockdown, was I discovered some services that I hadn't known about. And for anyone else that's vision impaired and might know about these, Blind Citizens Australia, the self-help group of blind people, plus Vision Australia, run telephone groups twice daily of such things as crossword puzzles, even cryptic crosswords if you want that, trivia, and even a spelling bee once a week.
Oh, that sounds fun.
And the best part about it is you don't even have to worry about Zoom. You don't even have to worry about ringing them and putting in a long code. They actually ring you when it's time for your group. So you can be asleep or you can be doing the washing up and you never forget your group because you get rung.
Oh, that's great, Lee. And are you in competition with other people around the country?
No, we're not really in competition. There's sort of a little core group in each, that meets weekly in each particular one, be it the crossword or the spelling. And we just help each other out and have a good laugh.
That sounds fun. And Lee, for those people who may want to use the service, can you give us a number?
The number for Vision Australia is pretty easy. It's 9334 3333, and you just ask for the telelink program.
Great. That's great. That's 9334 3333. Lee, that's great news, and thank you for that. It's great to hear this kind of lateral thinking for engagement. Let's go to Gilda from Sydney. Gilda, walking is one part of your joy landscape?
Yes, it is. I've always been a mad walker, at least once or twice a day. That's an aeroplane going overhead. Sorry
about
the
noise.
That's okay. Aeroplane.
We can always dream, Gilda, that one day we may be on one of those aeroplanes. Maybe.
Oh, I'm booked for 14th of November to go to London.
Oh, are you? Okay, well, cross fingers for that. I hope that works out. That's good.
Yes, so I'm a teacher. I've been lucky to have some casual work, been very upset to see how many kids are struggling and parents are struggling with their kids struggling. I have felt disconnected, being away from London, etc. And my sleep's rubbish, which is common. But I acknowledge it's okay not to be okay. So when I wake up at the crack of dawn, I listen to the birds, which I love. I'll go out walking at 5. I listen to Life Matters that I've got on podcast. Last weekend, in fact, I walked my third walk for the day on that Saturday, and I binged on Fitzroy Diaries.
There you go. That is a dramatisation of the kind of joy you can find in the little things. Gilda, thank you so much.
And then now, of course, I had strangulated the hernia, so I'm out of walking, can't walk, and had surgery. But it's a joy to even have my Life Matters listening live in the morning.
I just want to say, Gilda, we haven't paid you to say that. It's completely a free service from Gilda. Thank you very much indeed for calling through. Cynthia is in Rod Hill. Is that right, Cynthia?
Close, Red Hill.
Red Hill, I thought it might have been. Now, look, Cynthia, you've actually contracted COVID and you're still recovering.
That's right. I'm one of the unlucky people who got long COVID. So still grappling with that, which is a challenge.
Yes, I can imagine. And it must be hard, therefore, to find those positive moments when you're grappling with those long-term effects. How have you done it?
Well, you know, I realised that I just needed to get out of my head, that most of those moments are caused by thinking about things. So I guess I have three main strategies. The first is I just created this really jaggy list of happy songs, and a few times a week I just put it on and I just dance for 5 minutes around the house.
Give us a quick example of one of those daggy songs.
Oh, I can't. It's just too embarrassing.
Oh, come on, we're all friends here.
From Frank Sinatra to crazy Finnish electropop and, you know, a bit of Crowded House in there. And
That sounds pretty cool to me.
Yeah.
I'd be up for that. Yeah.
Yeah, I think my kids would think it was pretty daggy. So that's been really good. And the other thing is just to get out of the house. I'm still working at home, and just to get out of the house and be in nature, no matter the weather, and smell something and feel the air on my face is really great. And I think the third thing is just watching dogs at the beach and at the park.
Those tiny things that make all the difference.
Joy, exactly. They're so full of joy. It's actually quite hard not to feel happy watching an exuberant dog.
Cynthia, we admire you for finding those moments that give you that daggy joy and also that joy absolute in the midst of dealing with long COVID. Thank you so much for calling.
Pleasure. Have a good day.
You too. Cynthia from Redhill in Victoria. Just as we finish up here, Dan Fasnacht, I'm coming back to you. What are some tips that we should leave with for those people who are struggling to find the joy that we've heard so much about already?
I think what we heard was really excellent from, you know, all the callers. They experimented with different things. They found things they enjoyed, and they just kept on doing them. And I think that's something, we all should be doing. We should try and see where can we find joy in our lives, and, you know, hold it and just do it over and over again, and, you know, make it a habit. Not just a once-off thing when you are feeling not great. Just make it a habit and do it every day.
And look, good luck with your running. Clearly that gives you joy, and everyone's got their own way. And we'll also have links up on our website to the Be Well program and some of the other research you've been doing into this area. Great to talk to you, Dan. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Michael, for having me.
Dan Fasnacht, Senior Lecturer at the College of Education, Psychology and Social Work at Flinders University. And you will find links to all the programs that Dan mentioned on our Life Matters website. Just look for today's episode. And if you're wondering why we chose today to do this, well, October is Mental Health Month, and we wanted to focus on mental health and well-being at an individual level and turn it around and go, so we all have bad days, we all have bad weeks at the moment, even bad months. So what is it that finds joy for you? And you have responded magnificently. Thank you very much for that. And this is all part of an ABC-wide campaign called Your Mental Health. And thank you for all our callers today. By the way, if you want to join in and you're in other parts of the country and couldn't do the talkback, then email us, lifematters@abc.net.au. And if today's discussion has brought up anything that you need to discuss, there is always a person to talk to, and that is by calling Lifeline. That number is 13 11 14. 13 11 14. Hilary Harper, what are you seeing?
I am seeing so many comments on Facebook, which is another great place to pop your comment if you missed the talkback too, Michael.
Yes.
A lot of people clearly finding joy in animals, dogs, chickens, beetles, bees, and children and grandchildren too, obviously. Let's not forget them. Anna says on Facebook, actually stopping and smelling the roses on my morning walk. She says, I never realised how many wonderful old rose bushes there are in my neighbourhood. It's paying attention to the small and simple beauty in everyday things and exercising that helps animals.
And then, you know, when the roses drop their petals, you can gather them up, take them home and throw them into your bath.
That's true. Or wherever you like.
Wherever you like. That's right. Into your compost. Nicole says, I find my joy by helping others find theirs. And Gil says, very, very simple things. Today, I moved some rocks around in the garden and in the rain and planted some seeds. I got muddy and chatted to my chicken. Then my partner bought me a hot chocolate and I drank it while looking at my progress.
Lovely. Diana says we spent a long time getting tired and very dirty making mud bricks, but as long as we could have a hot bath under the stars, a hot meal and a clean, cosy bed, life was good. I'm with you, Diana. Making mud bricks is very, very tiring. So the contrast between that and the lovely bath would be excellent.
And I think the implication is the mud brick walls aren't high enough yet to support a roof. That's why they're under the stars. Is that what I'm getting?
Permanently under the stars,
yeah. Stephanie says, my prepubescent snarky daughter giving me a hug for no reason.
A blessed
moment there, Stephanie. Well done.
Yes. And Verity says, I don't know what it's called by the Sykes, but I call it catching joy. And she talks about those little moments where you just realise that you're having a lovely time and that can help reset your brain.
Hilary, Jonah's weighed in too from Tasmania to say that what gives her joy is cutting the last little freesia flowers from the garden and then that perfume that fills the whole room. And in parts of Australia where spring has sprung, you know it's sprung because of the freesias, I reckon.
Yes, or the jasmine.
Oh, the jasmine, yeah. Wisteria.
Yeah. I'm getting texts from interstate relatives going, is the wisteria out? Please send me a picture. And another text is beautiful. Each night at the table, we all have to say three good things that happened in the day. It helps us focus on the good things, no matter how small. And that's useful, isn't it, when it feels like you might be in a sea of bad things, just to pick out a few little good things.
That is a great tip, because you're forcing people to enunciate and narrate, and then everyone shares in what those benefits are at the table. That's a good thing. On childcare, which was our previous discussion before this on joy, this texter says, I work in childcare. We have undertaken all measures throughout the pandemic to keep staff and children safe. However, we had a staff member test positive and it was a very stressful time, waiting to see if any of the rest of us would also test positive. Luckily, she was a part-time worker, so none of us were put at risk. However, there's been centres all around us that have closed due to staff or children testing positive. That must be a very stressful time as you wait for those results to come back.
Yeah, it was really, really good to hear such reassuring context from our epidemiologist today, wasn't it? She says, you know, I understand that it can be an anxious time for people. You're seeing these reports of modelling that shows frightening numbers potentially as we open up, but she was just stressing that children are at very low risk of severe illness from COVID, very low risk of dying, and that's there's a lot being done to make sure childcare centres are the safest places they can possibly be.
That's great. And if you have any more responses on any of what you've heard today, of course, don't forget to email us and we'll put it into the mailbox.
Michael McKenzie, thank you.
Thank you.